our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. Along with Colin and Sherry, our lay reader, we want to welcome Betsy DeFelice. It's such a joy to have her back with us. Today is Communion Sunday, and we serve an open communion, which means that all who will may come. So we hope you will join us in communion wherever you are later in the service. We hope that you join us this Wednesday if you're in town, July 14th at 7:30 p.m. for our outdoor Vesper service on Ephraim's lawn. Pastor Kerry Krause will be bringing the message, and our own Marcia Ellis will be singing along with her friend Katrina Wellborn. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is taken from Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who reverence him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Please join us in singing, I Love to Tell the Story.
Concerns. We want to remember today our brothers and sisters in Haiti as they mourn the loss of their president. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you this day, separated by distance, yet knowing that we are connected through the power of the Spirit. We come to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us. We come with gratitude for the sustaining grace that helped us through another week. We thank you for this life and all its beauty, for our days of difficulty and struggle, for the times when we have been less than our best. We give you thanks that you did not turn away from us and that we are never alone. We lift up before you the country of Haiti today as they mourn the loss of their president and face an uncertain future. We ask for your sustaining presence. Lord, for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, we ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, with your peace. We name each of them in our hearts. Be their comfort and stay, for we ask all of this in the name of your dear Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading is taken from the prophet Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The reflection is written by Pastor Dan Olson, entitled, With Great Aplomb. My dad did surveying as an avocation for farmers all over north central Iowa, intent on tilling their farms for better drainage. I was with Dad on many of those trips and was mystified by the process. He used an antique brass transit, which I still have, to see the numbers on the rod to measure elevations. But his simplest and probably most important tool was a plumb line, a weight at the end of a string that displayed a precise vertical line. The pyramids and skyscrapers and huge cathedrals could not stand without the aid of this little device. There is a direct connection between the plumb line and the phrase standing up straight. Perhaps they used a plumb line to assure the shortest man in the Bible stood up straight, Nehemiah. The Lord held up a plumb line for Amos to see. If we read beyond the text for today, we discover the purpose of the plumb line served to measure up how well God's people were treating the poor and downtrodden. The solemn truth is no one person or any group of people can stand truly upright if they waver from the plumb line of God's eternal love of people, especially if they are pushed out of line. Our task is to help all people stand upright as they were intended by their Creator so to do.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I so admire Amos. I admire someone who can speak for God. I admire someone who can stand up and say the hard truth. But I have to be honest with you, I'm more Amaziah than Amos. And I suspect most of us are. For you see, Amaziah wants to maintain the status quo. The Amaziahs of this life are the peacemakers. The Amaziahs want everything to stay just so, especially when things are going well. And things were going really, really well during Amaziah's time. He was the priest at Bethel. And if you remember the story of Bethel, it's a wonderful story. Jacob of old, the one who founded the nation Israel, had a marvelous vision one day on a rock pile. And in that vision, he saw a ladder of angels. And God himself spoke to Jacob. And because of that, when he woke up, He said, I've been in the presence of God. And he named the place Bethel, which means the house of God. And that sanctuary was lovingly tended over the centuries. And Amaziah received that great blessing of being a priest at Bethel. Bethel was located in the northern kingdom of Israel. And at the time of Amaziah, there was great peace. Amos, on the other hand, was not from this northern kingdom. He was from the southern kingdom of Judah. He had no business in the northern kingdom. And the southern kingdom of Judah was doing very well itself. They had a stable monarchy. There was no call for rabble-rousing in the kingdom. Everything was going very well, especially for those who were comfortable, especially for those who were secure and well-to-do. Wasn't going so well for the poor. So Amos was told to travel to that northern kingdom and to speak in the very sanctuary that is called the house of God. And so he spoke, and Amaziah was very concerned. He didn't think of this as some crazy prophet. He knew that when prophets spoke, sometimes insurrection happened or awful things could happen. So he wanted Amos to stop. He sent a letter to the king to say, you know, this guy's going to cause trouble. And then he went to Amos himself and said, look, you're a prophet, go to your own town. Why are you up here? Can't you see yourselves doing that? I could see me doing it. We're more like Amaziah than Amos. But I wonder what would have happened if, rather than sending the prophet away, if he had taken that prophet by the hand and ushered him in to Jeroboam's presence and said, listen to this man, we have to change. For you see, when God sends God's prophets, it's not after the fact. It's not after a calamity to say, you see, you did wrong, and that's why all this bad stuff is happening. It's to prevent calamity. It's to restore people. And if Amaziah had done that, where would the people of God have been? Perhaps the disasters would not have been thrust upon them. It's a lesson for us, isn't it? There are people in our lives that are destined to tell us the hard truth. Not the truths that we want to hear, not to placate us, but the hard truth. They're the people that tell family members you're going the wrong way and you have to turn around. Oh, we don't want to hear that, especially when things are going well. It's the people in the community that says, we might be economically sound, but we're harming people. And we don't want to hear that if we are the recipients of good things. But we must. It's the people within the church that say the hard things. And we, the Amaziahs of this world, even though we might want to keep the peace, we need to hold space for those people to tell us the hard truths. Because in those hard truths are grace. We want to pull people out of their mistakes. We want to help them and put them on the right path. And that's all grace. And so, dear friends, you, if you're like me, oh yes, we want to maintain the status quo. But let us again hear the resounding voices of the Amos prophets in our midst. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the prophet Amos and all his forebears, all of those who have spoken your voice even in times when we did not want to hear it. And we ask, O Lord, that you would make our hearts open to the voice of God, to those hard truths. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This bread is my broken body given for you." Let us partake together the broken body of our Lord. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us partake together." Until he comes. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. ¶¶